Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have John Vaguero as our expert today. John started his company, Adapting Social, when he was just 17 years old, entirely self-funded and based out of his parents' basement with the sole goal of paying their mortgage. In the past decade, he has since grown Adapting Social to what it is today. A full-service design and marketing agency that has the honor of working with clients in more than 20 countries. Aside from Adapting Social, John also owns equity in several other companies in various fields, including technology and education. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Ashley. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate and respect what you're doing here.
Of course. So I'd love if you could share with our listeners what you do with Adapting Social and how you got started.
Yeah. So Adapting Social, I mean, you mentioned it and said it pretty well. You know, we're a full service agency. I started this business when I was 17 years old in my parents' basement and, you know, got this rock and rolling due to the fact that my family financially was not in a good state, to say the least. And so, you know, being in a position where we were going to lose the house, we were on food stamps, it was tough. So in a nutshell, you know, what I did was I tried to figure out what I can do to help earn and help my family, not, you know, put money on the table, provide, you know, keep our house. And, you know, being the oldest of five children, you know, I felt that significant responsibility. So the biggest thing for me was just figuring out what I could do to make that type of money as a 17-year-old, you know, kid. And as I started Googling stuff, I kind of came about, you know, website and graphic design freelancer. So, you know, fast forward from that evening, you know, forward, you know, Adapting Social really took off, you know, and started in my parents' basement from that point. And I was just like up all the time. And I put a mantra in place, Ashley, that I think every starter, that wants to be an entrepreneur, should really have in the forefront of their mind and in the macro of like where they're going. Because the biggest thing that I looked at back then, coming from financial difficulties, is that I knew that in order to, you know, get where I want to go, that I'm going to have to do things that other people are not typically, you know, normally wanting to do, you know, because of the state of comfort, right? So I printed out, I found a quote that resonated with me so freaking hard. And the quote read, "Live a few years of your life like most people won't, so you can live the rest of your life like most people can't." And I, again, 17 years old, I printed that out. I put it right above my ceiling on my bed. When I woke up, it's the first thing I saw. It was right next to my little unfinished basement office that I had. And it's all I looked at. So every time I faced difficulties when I started this company, it's exactly what I looked at. I'm like, this is what's supposed to be happening. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. So, you know, from that point, 2 years into it, you know, I helped pay off my parents' mortgage. You know, built this business pretty quickly in 2 years. And then from that point today, we serve entrepreneurs in 20 countries and are, a full service agency. And so, you know, Adapting Social, we love to support small business in every single way we can and help them grow their business by not just being, you know, somebody just doing a post for you on social or doing an ad campaign for you. We focus on building your business and we're a big business developer. So, you know, that's a very heavy segment that we focus on is growing your business, focusing on what we can do to bring in clients at a low acquisition cost. And, you know, thank God today we have a great team. We're located in Asbury Park, New Jersey, as well as Soho, New York. And, you know, our mission to save small business is exactly the same passion and level of like excitement from day one. So, in a very big nutshell, that's me and that's Adapting Social.
That is all amazing. And there are so many things you said in there that I 100% want to highlight because I think they're incredibly important for our listeners to hear. So first of all, I think it's incredible that you had this business idea and vision that was something that was bigger than you. So of course it was something that interested you, but what really pushed you and motivated you was the fact that you wanted to help your parents out and help them become in a more financially stable state. So I think that that's something that's really valuable for people to hear is that yes, your business will be something that's passionate to you and something that drives you, but you will do so much more when you have that goal in mind, knowing that you're going to be helping other people. And secondly, that mantra that you had talked about is so amazing because I think that having some type of quote or phrase or anything like that that you consistently follow each day is what will help you keep moving forward in your business. One thing that I always say is that when I first started my business, I strictly thought it was strategy and talent and experience and all of this stuff. And it wasn't until probably a year or two in that I didn't realize that mindset actually plays a huge business part in business. And so I think that you really touched upon that and how it can really definitely keep you moving forward.
Yeah, mindset Ashley is literally, I would say, about 95% of, you know, your business being successful or not successful. You know, one of the things I like to consider myself a student of life. You know, I didn't go to college. Once I started my business when I was 17, you know, I did graduate high school. But you know, I did not continue to college. I just kept going. And so, you know, I don't have formal education and, you know, going back 10 plus years ago, you know, it's not as cool and sexy to be an entrepreneur and like, you know, to drop out of school. Like I remember my friends judging me and, you know, my family members, like not my immediate family. They were very supportive about it, but like my cousins were like, you know, what are you going to do? You don't have a backup plan. What happens if this doesn't work? And I think the biggest thing that I attribute to the success that I have, I early on became very, I'm going to say this lightly, but I became very obsessed with, you know, people like Steve Jobs, you know, people like Tony Robbins, people like Napoleon Hill, who wrote one of the most powerful books of all time, Think and Grow Rich. And so when I started to understand these guys' mindset and I looked at people who are way, like when you just compare, again, Tony Robbins, Steve Jobs, you know, both of those people did not graduate college. Both of those people came from poor, poor, poor backgrounds. There are a lot smarter people than them out there that could have 100% outbrained them. But one of the things, and I'm definitely in the league of the fact that I am not the smartest person in the room, but I take massive action. And having the mindset that if you keep pushing forward and you keep taking action, you will not, it's impossible to fail. It's impossible to fail. If you don't stop trying, like Colonel Sanders, who invented KFC, when he was retired as an old man, he just started as an old man who was retired. And literally in one of Tony Robbins' books called Unlimited Power, which I highly recommend, he talks about how Colonel Sanders was this old pudgy guy in a white suit going around. He went to 1,009 restaurants to try to sell them his recipe and got rejected. And by 1,009 people. And finally, one person after that said yes. But here's the point is that any normal person would after 100, never mind 50, rejected people saying, no, 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 you driving, wasting gas, going here, going there, driving all over the state, driving all over the country, just to hear, no, 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 no. Every normal human being would walk away and be like, okay. But the key here that I want you guys all to remember when it comes to mindset is that as long as you will never give up and you will keep taking massive action, it means something doesn't work. Okay, change something, do something else. Doesn't work again. Okay, change something, do something else. Eventually you will become successful. That's the bottom line. And, you know, again, with Adapting Social with me, you know, when I first started the business, you know, my first year in business, I made, I think like $4,000. And I was so stoked, Ashley, that I literally was like, I told my grandma was my bookkeeper at the time. She lives, you know, she was living with my family. You know, she still lives at my mom and dad's house. But, you know, she's like, oh, that, you know, she's like, that's great. And I remember talking to my accountant, and my accountant's like, John, that's like no money, man. Like, you can't live off of this. Like, you know, how do you expect to live off of $4,000? Like this isn't, and to him who was a educated, you know, college, you know, master's degree, you know, dude, he looked at it like, dude, this is a failure of a venture, like $4,000 in one, you know, full 365 days. That's a failure. And my response to him was like, hey, I didn't lose money. I made $4,000. And so he was like, all right, well, you know, you're crazy. And I think that if you have that mentality that your mindset is everything and creating a mindset that you will never give up, you'll keep pushing, keep adapting, keep learning, and keep doing different things to take action. Ultimately, you're going to lead to some sort of success. Other people may figure out a different business venture, right? Out of the one that they tried to start, but realized it didn't work, but they adapted and changed so much that they actually created a different business on accident. So either way, your mindset, you would mention that it's a big part. It's, to me, it's like 95%. Because the one thing that Tony Robbins says very well is that the chokehold on every business is the mindset of the leadership and the person that owns it. So I just wanted to dive in there.
Yeah, no, that was great. And I absolutely agree too. And especially with the point that you made that you may not be the smartest person in the room, but you take action. And that is one belief that I truly hold to my heart as well, is that I never want to be the smartest person in the room. I hire people to build my team who are smarter than me. And that's how I grow. And that's how we grow. So it's something that I think once people realize that it's okay if you don't know everything, that's how you continue to move forward.
Correct. That's correct. It's correct. You got to live for yourself. And you got to understand everybody listening again, this is great that you have this set up for, as a platform for people starting up and learning from the beginning, because, a lot of people, there's a reason why over 90% of businesses don't actually wind up succeeding. Because you face every potential difficulty, when it comes to understanding, like I've always looked at being an entrepreneur as like, it's like we're all effed up in the head when you really think about it, because by conventional standards, if someone were to say to you, hey, you're going to lose your house, you're going to spend all of your kids' money on this venture, college funds, this, that, you're going to risk everything. Again, most of the world would never do that because it's not secure, it's not guaranteed, it's not safe. Entrepreneurs run into a burning building because they see opportunity where everybody's running out of it. And so, it's understanding that from the beginning that you're going to face so much stuff that is going to drive you crazy in some situations. It's going to be emotional. Sometimes it's going to be, upsetting, sad, but it's the most rewarding thing on the planet. When you do it the right way and have your business working for you, and not you being a slave to the business. And that doesn't happen overnight. And honestly, since we're on this topic, and then I'm a rambler, Ashley, so you got to cut me off. But one of the things I will say is that a lot of younger millennials and Gen Z, like I'm a millennial, 28 years old, but I don't operate like most people. Like I'm still very like old school, but still have the tools in my arsenal to be very millennial and very, technology forward. But the biggest thing though is that like a lot of the Gen Z generation and millennial generation, they don't want to actually go and like go door to door and shake hands. And they don't want to, they want to be successful and make moves right away. Like I remember there was one videographer that was freelancing for me a couple of years ago. And, he said to me at the time, he was like, I need to be making, I think he wanted like $1,000 per shoot. And it was way, way above, industry average, for that market and what people were charging. And so, I said to him, I said, show me your portfolio. I want to give you a shot, but show me like what you can do. Like I want to justify spending $1,000 because you're young. And he didn't really have a full portfolio yet. And he's like, yeah, I'm building it. So I was like, why in God's green earth do you think that you're valued at $1,000 then to go on a shoot? And he's like, oh, because all this money is now, I want to make this money. I want to do this, this, that. And the one piece of advice I want to give to people is that if you're looking for a payout within the first 2 to 3 years of your business, and you're just strictly looking for the money, hey, I need to make money. You're going to be very, very upset because that is not how the game works. So I just want to start off by saying that it's tough, but the money, listen, if you're doing it just for the money, listen, money's a great motivator. It's a big thing for a lot of people, including myself. But if you're coming into it expecting to get rich your first year or 2 years in business or being very comfortable, not many businesses do that right away. and it takes time. So just look at it from the long-term perspective and what you can build in 10 years as opposed to just 1 year.
Yeah, I absolutely love that perspective on that, because I think it's something that is so important, that your business isn't just about making money, it's about making an impact. But John, one thing I'd love for you to talk about now is, what was the most difficult part about starting your business?
The most difficult part for me was just really like figuring out the name, figuring out how to price services. I'm a very overambitious person, Ashley. I'm somebody who like is a wild child. So for me, like, I am like a lion in the jungle. Like, I just want to get out there and do it. I don't need to know how. I just need to know that I'm going to go do it and I make it happen. So for me, I knew, like, trying to figure out what exact services that I wanted to provide, how I was going to charge them, like, you know, all these different things. That for me was the biggest challenge in the beginning. But then, of course, as everybody else, like, one of the things that are for sure challenging is like getting customers, you know, getting customers that are going to trust you. Like, you know, and going back then, I wasn't a full service marketing agency. I was building websites. So like, I couldn't say to people like, oh, I could, and I wasn't a professional, this crazy marketer when I first started. So for me in the beginning stages, it was finding people that would give me a shot. I would literally, no joke, go door to door in the town that I live in Brick, New Jersey. And I would literally go, I would start off at like 8 o'clock, like 8 a.m. and go to all different little towns or all different little shops and plazas all throughout Brick. And I would be going from around 8 o'clock in the morning, probably till close to like 5 o'clock, and just getting no's all day. And so, you know, for me, that was the challenge, you know, and, you know, I had friends that started, you know, that I wanted to start the business with me. I had two best friends and I had one random person that was like kind of friends with that I asked to join with me because I was young. I was like, oh, it'll be cool. Let's do it together. We'll be partners. And everybody quit on me. And, you know, that was a really tough pill to swallow as well. Cause I was like, shit, like, this is like, these guys are like my best friends. Like, why would they give up on this? And they didn't believe in it the way that I did. So to me, it was finding clients. It was like, again, trying to have this partnership with my friends, which now I can tell you right now, they're definitely kicking themselves in the ass. You could bleep that part out, hopefully in editing. Sorry. But yeah, so those are the challenging parts for me, Ashley.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that one part that a lot of people struggle with when starting is definitely pricing. I know for me, I cringe thinking about it now, what I was charging, because I'm like, I can't believe I would ever set myself that low. But again, it's something that people struggle with because they're like, well, I don't really know what I'm worth. If I start low, then maybe I'll get more clients. If I start too high, maybe people won't want to work with me and things like that. So pricing is definitely something that people really don't know how to handle, as well as you mentioned, actually getting those clients or customers. It's like, you have this great idea, you've built a business, now what? So right. I think a lot of people can definitely relate.
100%.
On the flip side, what would you say is the most rewarding part of starting your business?
You know, it's a good question, Ashton. I would say, you know, there's the obvious of like, hey, you know, financial freedom. You know, that's one thing. I think for me, I'm not a person that does well with following rules or that like is a good listener. Like I was never a good employee because I always wanted to be like, you know, my own version. I want to do things differently. And you can get in trouble for doing things differently, obviously. So I think for me, it's the creative freedom to kind of like navigate and do what I want with my life. Like, nobody can tell me, John, you have to go do this today. You have to do that. You know, being on this podcast, like, I did not have to be on this podcast, right? Like, you know, nobody said to me, John, this is, you know, your job, get on the podcast today. Like, I love the fact that like, I have to push myself and nobody's telling me to do, you know, anything. For me, that was a big thing. You know, I would say other than that, just being able to touch people's lives, you know, again, with my team, you know, I have a great team, all genuine people, you know, I have great clients that I work with that become our family. So it's touching lives, you know, it's financial freedom. It's living life in your terms. You know, and you think about business is all around us, right? Everything that you like in right now, the laptop you're on, the software we're listening, you know, we're talking through, your, you know, the home you're sitting in, the carpet you're on, or hardwood floor, the clothes you're wearing, the hair product you're putting in, everything is a business. So being able to be in the game is extremely exciting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the three things that you just touched on are so valuable that comes with starting a business. So the financial freedom, not having to live by anyone else's rules, and then also being able to make an impact. And so that's something that I definitely agree with too. I mean, I never realized this until I graduated from college and was officially full-time. But last summer, for example, I decided I was going to take Fridays off so I could go to the beach. Because here in New England, of course, we don't get much sunny weather and all of the best temperature days. So I was like, you know what? I own my own business. I'm my own boss. I can make this decision. And so things like that are really powerful and really help to put it into perspective that you built something that allows you to make decisions like that and not have to deal with any type of repercussion.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Awesome. Well, if there was one thing you wish you did differently when you were starting, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Great question. I love this question myself. If honestly, the way I characterize it, if I can go back in time and give myself a piece of information when I was starting, that piece of information, honestly, would just be on how important it is to hire the right people on your team. Everything else in terms of like how I built my business, how I did what I did, you know, to this day even, right? I'm still not a college educated person. I got my education from the School of Hard Knocks. So, you know, the biggest thing is I wouldn't change the foolishness that I had because I wasn't educated. But Steve Jobs said it really well, you know, when you're hungry and foolish, you're willing to go far, far beyond most people. And sometimes to the point where it's like most will turn around and that's the foolishness in you, but meets the hungry in you. So that piece I would not change. But what I would tell myself is that the team you build around you is the direct success of this company. Every business that exists that needs people, that is a people capital business, you need to have the right people. Because when you have the wrong people, and in the past, I would just like try to hire people to get jobs done and, you know, wouldn't do, you know, insane vetting. And like, I would just like jump them in, but your team is everything. You know, your team is the people that are on the boots on the ground every day, creating that great product. Like, again, it's like, if you make coffee, right? Like, you know, if you own a coffee shop, better yet, the barista making your coffee, they could do something wrong and they're giving out bad coffee. And how does that look for your business and your brand? It looks terrible.
Right.
And it's giving somebody a bad experience. So as people start to scale their business, it's one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn the hard way. And I'm going to give you two of them actually. And they're both employee related. So that's that. Finding the right people is so, so important. You have to climb the same mountain. And if you have people that are not climbing the same mountain as you, get rid of them. The second thing I would say comes down to being friends with your team. And one of the things that's funny, you know, my wife, when I first met my wife, she was, her family owns a couple companies and they're very, very smart, intelligent business people and successful. And she grew up seeing her family, you know, and how they conducted their business. And, you know, me being a millennial business owner in an agency, you know, technology, you know, marketing, design, creative, you know, my atmosphere, even to obviously today still, is our culture is like unlike any other. And we have a great time. We're friends, you know, we all have, you know, we're all laughing, but really hustling, getting after it. You know, one of the things that I wasn't prepared for, you know, because my intentions were like, I want these people to be my friends. You know, I want everybody in this room, you know, I care about how they feel, you know, this and that. But then like, as you start to grow the company, you know, and you have more team members, you go from like 5 to then like to 8 and then to 10 and to 20 and to 30. And as you continue to scale, you start to realize that people are not there to be your friend. They're there for money. They need a paycheck. They need a job. And that's why they're there. And yes, they will laugh with you. They'll have a great time with you. But in some cases, right, there are some gems. Like on my team, I have people that I know are lifers, they're family. And they're like, you know, again, they're the diamond in the roughs for adapting social. But for the majority of the world and for the majority of the employment marketplace, people need to get paid. So you start to realize, like, I'll give you an example, like this one guy that was from New York and had this big startup company that raised, I think, over like 50 million, did so great. You know, it was in fintech. And long story short, his wife used to say the same thing. She'd say, you know, you're too close with your employees, you're too close. And he's like, no, they're family. And one day, 2008 hit, and it was the biggest at the time financial, you know, hardship that any, you know, anybody's ever seen in the United States history. So besides obviously the Great Depression, and long story short, almost not 90% of his staff left him. And these were people that, again, he went to their barbecues, you know, was at their, you know, their communions and baptisms and this and that. And honestly, I've been in that situation. You know, you build these relationships, you think, again, these are my friends, these are my family, but it's waking up with the reality that these people have to come to work, you know, or no matter what, not that they have to work, but they're coming to work to build a career and to make money. And right. So anything changes in those two realms, you can kiss them goodbye because they have to worry about themselves. And that's rightfully so. It makes sense. But I took it very personal. And as I was scaling my company, if somebody left or quit or whatever, I can't even tell you, Ashley, how personally I took it. Like seriously scarred me. And so as I've gotten older, you realize that that's part of life. People move on, you know, again, it's like a relationship. People break up. So I would go back and tell myself that, you know, listen, you're going to fight for these people. You're going to do everything you can to help grow them in their careers, enjoy them, you know, have a good time. But the bottom line is that they're here to do a job and so are you. And that comes over, that's the first priority over any fun or anything else, as well as finding the right people. So those would be the two things that I definitely would focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And finding the right people is huge. I mean, that can lead to your success exponentially. That was one thing that definitely led to my marketing firm, Dash of Social Success, was because when I started, it was just me and I focused on just social media, hence the name. And I got to a point where potential clients and current clients were asking me questions such as, oh, do you do paid ads? Do you do SEO? Do you do email marketing? All of these things. And I kept being like, no, 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 and referring out to other people until one day I was like, wait a minute, I'm leaving money on the table. I'm sending money elsewhere. I could be making more money. I need to bring on a team who can handle these tasks that I can't and knows how to do them really well. And so it kind of flipped the switch for me and made me realize that if I wanted to keep providing even more value to my clients and keep growing myself, I needed to bring on other people who could help me do that. And that's definitely where that comes in with, as you mentioned, of hiring the right people who have those skill sets and have the expertise and love your business almost as much as you do to be able to do the same.
100%, that's facts.
Awesome. Well, I know that you had kind of mentioned earlier that one thing that definitely led you to success was focusing on mindset and action. Would you say there's anything else that led you to your success with adapting social?
So, you know, mindset's definitely one. I would say, I think that both, you know, most simply put, growing up and not having, you know, the financial, you know, stability that, you know, I would have loved to have, but I'm happy that I didn't have. I think that a big contributor to my success was almost every single misfortune that I had growing up. And so when I look at, you know, again, you know, not being able to, you know, have the money to get this or that, or having to settle on, you know, for instance, like on Christmas, like if we had to dial back and cut back for like my siblings to go to get more gifts, like I would have to dial back and, you know, and I was told no. And there was a lot of different things that I went through, you know, in my life. And my whole life growing up, I was always like, why me? Why me? And I think that looking back now, those misfortunes are what helped me build my fortune, because, you know, I was weathered and I went through, I had tough skin because of those things. So I think, you know, being rejected and hearing no, I was used to hearing, you know, all the time, you know, and that helped me get rejected and move on to the next sale. And, you know, I would honestly, it's pretty simple for me. I think it's using the tools and what I've been through to help me move forward and navigate what I need to do. Because I believe, you know, some people out there, you know, I'm not pushing this on anybody else. You know, some people believe in the universe. Some people believe in nothing. You know, I believe in God, you know, I'm a Catholic. So for me, you know, I believe that, you know, God put me in particular situations growing up, in uncomfortable situations that I did not want to be in. I didn't choose to be in. And all of those uncomfortable situations that I've been through ultimately helped me succeed in my life because I was relentless and wouldn't give up because I had to go through that stuff in the past and I already went through it. So why not do it and now make a little bit money while I'm going through the same shit the day before? So ultimately, I would say, you know, utilizing my misfortunes to create my fortune would definitely be one as well. And other than that, just building my network. It sounds so cliche because, you know, everybody's an Instagram coach now. But, you know, when you see that saying, you know, your network becomes your net worth, that is the truest thing that I've ever read. Because, you know, the one thing that I like to navigate and kind of shift that a little bit is that it's not who you know, it's who you meet. And that's why, you know, when I first started, I would go to every single Chamber of Commerce event. I would go to every networking group from New York down to New Jersey and drive 2 hours, 1 hour, all over the tri-state area. I would be in a car, driving, spending gas money, and going to all these networking events, getting no clients from them, expecting nothing in return, but just shaking a hand, you know, learning more about them, asking them how I can add value to their lives. And ultimately, you know, part of building that network is what, you know, grew my business. And once you have people who are willing to say, vouch for you and say, hey, Ashley, you know, Ashley's a great person. She's honest. She has integrity. You know, her work, you know, is unprecedented. So you know what? I'm going to tell people about her. If somebody asks me, you know, I'm going to, you know, reach out and say, call Ashley. Yeah, give Ashley a call. Or if I see somebody posting on Facebook, I'm going to tag Ashley in it. Oh, hey, you need this? Boom. Call Ashley. You know, and that's what I focused on is building quality relationships. And I think that would be a massive one. You know, that would be one of the biggest ones too.
Oh, you are 100% correct. I think that building your network, and as you mentioned, as cliche as it may sound, or people who may be rolling their eyes hearing this, it's so, so valuable because like you said, you will be top of mind when someone is looking to hire someone like you. And so I always say that referrals are the best compliments. And it's true. I mean, getting referred by clients or colleagues or anyone else to new business is such a gratifying feeling because you're like, wow, I made such an impact and they think so highly of me that they're willing to put their credibility on the line ultimately by sharing my name with someone else. And so that is such a huge point that I think you mentioned.
Yes.
Amazing. So what would you say is the most important reason why people should start their businesses so young?
Just to get experience, you know, it's like, it's important to get out there and to just do, you know, too many people, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, too many people think, and they don't take action. And when you think too much and you're not taking action, ultimately you're going to be sitting there, you know, and just watching life pass you by. Like, actually, how many people do you know that are smart, that are very intelligent, but maybe haven't hit all the goals or maybe haven't really hit their full potential?
Too many.
we all know people that are smart, that have a million ideas, even some people like that. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends and family that are like the next inventor of like the next biggest thing that never ever start. And so, you know, I think just starting and understanding that, like, you know, it's okay to fail and just okay to just test and do things. It helps you. And when you're young, you learn an incredible lesson. Like, again, like being a teenager, starting my business, like, the amount that I've learned, the amount of success that I'm going, like the amount of success that I'm going to have in the next 20 years of my life because of what I learned, because what I'm currently learning, I'm still learning. I'm still young. I'm only 28 years old. I only got 3 gray hairs, actually. So literally, like, I have so much more life to live. And I started this business as a kid and already have over 10 years under my belt. And so when I look at like the next 20 years, the stuff that, like, again, like Oprah started and she became successful in her 40s. Like, I'm not even close to 40 yet. So it's like, when you have that experience under your belt and you go through it, you're going to learn, you're going to become better, you're going to be a titan. So I would just say, you know, the biggest reason why people should start when they're young is because, you know, it's never too late to start. But every time I've spoken to any entrepreneur, like, I'm going to be interviewing Grant Cardone. And when I spoke to him on the phone, you know, briefly about coming on the podcast, one of the questions I asked him was like, you know, what's one of your biggest regrets? He's like, not starting sooner. And it's like, because you know that the sooner you could have started, the way more of the journey you would have had and the way more success you would have captured. So for me, you know, I wouldn't have changed anything. I couldn't have possibly started any earlier. And I'm happy that I started when I started, but I would tell people out there listening, you know, if you have an inkling or an idea, just freaking do it. I wish I could curse right now. Just freaking do it.
Yeah. 100%. I say the same thing too, is that when I look at it, I mean, even though I didn't start my business until I was 19, I started freelancing when I was 17. So it's like, I had that experience about 2 years before actually launching. And I'm like, I have so much more time. As the same thing for anyone else who's starting their business young. But when you start it young, you have so much more time to make a bigger impact, become more successful, and continue to grow nonstop.
100%.
Absolutely. So John, with all of this amazing advice that you've already shared, what's the last piece of advice that you'd like to share with our listeners for those who may just be starting out?
So the last piece I would share is you have to sacrifice who you are right now for who you want to be. And honestly, listen, it's very tough, you know, sacrificing fun things like one. I mean, right now we're all stuck in a pandemic, so you can't leave your house anyway. But you know, I always would say, like, I wouldn't be the person going out partying all the time because I didn't have money. I was focusing on my business. I never really saw my friends. For the past 10 years, like, I haven't lived the normal life of, like, somebody who is in their 20s. Like, don't get me wrong. I definitely had my fair share of fun. But, like, I don't party as much as my friends. But I also don't look at it like I look at partying and celebrating, like, you know, why am I doing that? Am I doing it because I've created success? Because I'm celebrating, like, real celebrating something? And I haven't done much of that. I haven't traveled a lot, you know, up until recently. Like, my wife is somebody who, you know, she likes to travel and stuff. And you know, my family's version of traveling was going to Florida 50,000 times and just going to Disney because we had, you know, 5 kids. But, you know, for me, you know, it's just like understanding that, like, I've sacrificed, like, going out, having fun, doing things like that. You know, even in some cases, like, you know, my, just like, you know, stress levels. You know, you have to truly sacrifice, you know, who you are for who you want to be. And what I mean by that, to most simplest forms, is that, you know, I by nature am a very goofball, funny guy. I love hanging out with my friends, my family, my wife, my 2 Pomeranian dogs. And you know, and I love just like being around people and laughing and enjoying ourselves. Like, that's who I am by nature. But in the business world, in my company, when I'm with clients or if I'm in a situation with one of my team members, I have to be a serious person. Viscerally, it's against the grain for me. I'm not somebody who is normally a serious person. That's like me having to be an actor. And so, right. And so for me to have to do that, you know, it's tough for me every day for the past 10 years. And as I've gotten way more employees and way more, and my company's, you know, gotten to the level we are today, I've had to become a way more serious business person as I've grown. And I'm sacrificing that little kid inside of me that's like fun and happiness and that. And in some cases, you know, there's different, everyone's going to have different sacrifices, but it's just understanding there are certain things that are holding you back from becoming a successful business owner. Whether that's you being lazy and sleeping in late and not getting ahead of your day. Whether that's you not, whether that's you having the wrong mindset and having the mindset that, like, you know, poor me card and thinking of everything negatively. You know, there could be so many different things, spending money, going out, you know, seeing your family. All of those things are things that you have to sacrifice, because if you truly care, and I don't care what anybody says, oh, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. That's total BS. If you love what you do, you will be forced more than ever to have to fight at one point for what you do. And it's tough and it's not easy. It's not always a cakewalk and smiles. So for me, you know, I look at that like, you know, just the understanding that you will have to sacrifice things in your life to where you want to go. And the better you accept that, or the faster you accept that, the faster you will get ahead of where you need to go. Because people who don't accept that, you know, they wind up, listen, it doesn't mean you can't have a business and not, you know, some people, listen, I know people who make, you know, a decent amount of money. They're happy. They got their money. They got their, you know, their white picket fence and their house and, you know, their kids and that's all they need. But the world that I live in is I want to create something massive. I want to change the freaking planet. I want to change my team's life, my client's life. I don't have small dreams. I have very ambitious, big, crazy goals. And so, you know, for me and people like that, you know, you have to sacrifice your time, you know, and a lot of things that come with becoming successful. It starts with waking up early as hell, getting ahead of your competition, starting with your competition, sleeping, all the way to when they're going back to bed, you're still up because you're hustling. And that sacrifice is what determines your success.
Yeah. Sacrifice, as you mentioned, on all fronts. So time, how you interact with other people, where you choose to put your efforts, all of that stuff. I think sacrifice is a big thing that comes with entrepreneurship and really regardless of age too.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, John, you have shared such incredible insights and advice with our audience today. And now I'd love if you could share where they can find you online so that if they have any more questions or just want to connect, they know where to get to you.
Yeah, 100%, Ashley. First of all, thank you for having me again. I really, really appreciate it. You know, I hope that this message helps a lot of entrepreneurs. If you guys need anything at all or have any questions, you know, with me, you can engage with me on Adapting Social, you know, on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere else, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. Just look at Adapting Social, as well as our website, adaptingsocial.com. You can find out some more information there. And you can engage with me in those places. And again, Ashley, thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, of course, John. I'll put all of those links in the show notes as well, so that way anyone who wants to grab them can easily click them. But thank you so much for being a guest.
Absolutely. Hey, create a great day, Ashley.
Thanks. You too. Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.